The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story number one.
Oh, it's Notre Dame advancing over Penn State 27-24 in the Orange Bowl to advance to the College Football Playoff National Championship. Mike, I want to play this for you, and then I got to find out. Who was he throwing it to? Drew Allard's interception at the end of this game.
As long as 49. Allard hit as he throws, and it is intercepted! Christian Gray picks it off!
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that, you know, it's big moments, and he did have some big ones, including a loss to Oregon, but is this a guy that – I was thinking last night, guys, like, this is a dude people are having as, like, the fifth-best NFL prospect at quarterback. I said on Twitter last night, yeah. I said, the only way this guy goes to an NFL game is by buying a ticket. I mean, 12-23, 135 with the pick, bad decisions. I mean, and he looked like he was 12 years old. Every time they'd have that ISO shot of him, like, slapping his helmet with his hands, like, dude, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, and then they get the big field goal from Mitch Jeter, 41 yards. That's nothing to clown around about. I mean, that was a big kick, but he advances them to the national championship. Let's hear from Marcus Freeman talking about his kicker.
Riley kept everybody under control, and we knew we were in range where Mitch could make that field goal. And he is a confident guy, man. There is no moment too big for Mitch Jeter. And I had a lot of confidence in him in that moment. He was going to do exactly what he did. And he did a great job at doing it.
Mm. Carl, they were one of the worst kicking teams in college because of his injury. They lost him for a bunch of games, and when he comes back, he was a South Carolina kicker for a couple of years, and he goes to South Bend for two. So, yeah, he was money, and they kept showing those shots of him on the sideline. I'm thinking, is this guy, are we going to have one of those, as they say, on the college football final, college kicker moment? But no, he did it. And then Notre Dame, how about the touchdown to Jaden Greathouse, where the corner just completely falls on his back, and then he just takes it, makes one move, and he goes in the house. And that was probably the most, aside from what Riley Leonard was doing out there in Jeremiah Love, that was the most athletic play from Notre Dame other than what their defense was bringing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Again, the big splash plays, not there. And you mentioned it. I mean, they couldn't find a wide receiver to save their lives, which is part of the downfall of the storyline. Here's the other part of it. James Franklin is now 4-20 versus top 10 teams. I know they were in the semifinal, but Mike, we talk about this all the time. 11 years. Like, is Penn State just going to stay the course and say, okay, thanks, that was great, and we'll get them next year? Do you feel like James Franklin in these moments can get his team over the top? And allegedly, and I didn't see this press conference, but the news is coming out now about that they had a final press conference, and James Franklin was, you know, I don't know if he was tongue-in-cheek, but he kind of took some shots at, you know, Marcus Freeman and his age, and, oh, you know, you got your hairline, and Freeman took it as disrespect, and apparently translated that to the kids, and they took that personal and took it on the field. And I'm just saying, like, James Franklin, go win one of these big games, man. That I don't know what their thought is about moving forward or not.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And by the way, I saw and I heard the, I think it was Greg McElroy on the call with Sean McDonough last night. I don't fault. I mean, what was your feeling on them trying to make something happen? You know, when he threw the interception, I thought if you are, you know, if you're Penn State, you got 38 seconds and two timeouts. Do you sit on it and take it to overtime, or do you try to get the ball down the field and kick a field goal? I don't fault. I mean, do you fault Franklin for trying to be aggressive there? Some guys are killing him, saying you got to just be conservative.
Well, that's the thing. Your quarterback hadn't found a wide receiver pretty much all night. When you look at the negative yards, that's the argument. It's not as if it wasn't the right thought pattern, but your quarterback hadn't found a wide receiver all night. Run the ball a couple of times and try to get in the field goal range there and just, yes, be conservative because that's the kind of game it was going to take to win it. And that's where he misread the room. You put the pressure on Allard. I put this on the coach, Mike. He put this on Allard as if Allard had been out there, you know, throwing 35 for 40 and had a 350-yard day. He didn't. So either way, it's like, come on. James Franklin, I'm not sure, you know, again, how he's viewed at Penn State. He might be the most likable guy, but that record. And by the way, 1-15 versus top five teams. How are you keeping your job?
You know, I said this a few times this last couple of years when we talked about Penn State. I married into a Penn State family. My wife went to Pitt, but when I go up to Central Pennsylvania, we call it Pennsyltucky, everybody up there is lukewarm at best on James Franklin because they felt like he just cannot get the job done. And then you think about how lame they were on those goal-to-go situations against Ohio State when they couldn't punch it in. I mean, there's just no imagination at times on offense. And let's be honest, Carl, even though he can never beat Michigan, never beat Ohio State, they literally gave him the easiest possible route to the college football championship, and he still couldn't bring home the bacon.
Yeah. Tonight we get Texas, Ohio State. We're going to continue to break that down. The Daily Download brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. We'll get more into this Texas, Ohio State game. But last night, a lot of credit, man. And again, Marcus Freeman, he didn't make this a big deal, and I commend him for that. I mean, the fact of the matter is we know a lot of things have changed, but there's still a long way to go. And when you start talking about, again, the first black coach to lead a team to the sports national championship game, it's a big deal, and it needs to be acknowledged. But then his response, I thought, was perfect, talking about affecting young men's lives and doesn't matter what you look like. Hopefully these guys get a chance to be coaches and affect people's lives. I thought it was perfect. We'll see who they end up playing after tonight's game.